Let's stand together and sing this morning. We're glad that you're here this morning. Let's sing Everlasting God. Let's sing.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Before next week.
Sing praise, sing praise.
Thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the weekend that we've had here with Garments of Praise, Lord, and not just about giving out the clothes, but about people coming through the doors of this church, and most importantly, hearing about you. Lord, we give you thanks for the two salvations that we had yesterday. Lord, what an awesome thing to know that we're helping the kingdom. Lord, help our hearts and our spirits this morning to focus on you. Help us to worship you. Help us to dig deep down and figure out what you want today. How can we leave this place and change somebody's life once we walk out these doors? Be with Pastor Fred as he brings the message this morning. Lord, we just ask that the words that he has are going to be coming from you, and help us to know what we need to take from that. Lord, I just ask that you will fill this place this morning with your presence, with your love. Lord, we have a love that we can't even fathom most of the time. Help us to share that with somebody. Help us to know that it's okay to talk to somebody about you. The best thing that's ever happened to us. Help us to get out of our comfort zones a little bit and just share your name, the name above all names. Thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for this worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Name of Jesus Christ.
Great song, Amazing Grace. The song before that, what a beautiful name it is. You know, it all centers and focuses on the name of Jesus. Everything that we accomplish, everything that we can do, everything that we experience, everything that we're a part of, centers and focuses upon the name of Jesus. The creator of our lives, the forgiver of our sins, the provider of our salvation. What a beautiful name it is. Let's turn to Philippians 4:13. Let's return into Philippians chapter 4. I want to say that yesterday was just an awesome day. I'm telling you, we're riding on a high because we've had a lot going on in the month of July. Between just prior to July, we had Jerusalem Changers, a youth event, and as they went out into different communities and made a difference in people's lives. And then we followed that with our July 4th celebration on July 2nd and ministered to our community and enjoyed a great night of worship and celebration. And then we moved into Vacation Bible School. And I love Vacation Bible School because you walk through the halls of this church and it is buzzing. There are kids everywhere. Things are happening. Messes are being made. drinks are being spilt, you know, crafts are being crafted, and lessons are being learned, and children are being brought closer to Jesus Christ, and so are the workers who have given of their time during that ministry. So great, great announcement there, too. The ministry of pie, I like that, you know, so as they send those pies out to parents this upcoming days. And then yesterday was just one of those sights that you'd have to see it to believe it, just to see them lined up outside, just lined up to be ministered to. And not only was the goal there to put new garments on people, but to change hearts and give new hearts. And we know that God did that, as Jim reported, in the life of two folks yesterday, and many were prayed with and prayed over. Many situations came up. A lot of ministry was being done, not only in the counseling room, but among the table. And just to walk around and see the buzz and to see the conversations that were going on, to see God at work in that, just affirms that. And then on top of that, throughout the past month and then through half of this month, we'll be continuing a ministry called Feed My Sheep, as we've been getting out on the streets of our community and running into some of those same kind of circumstances and folks that just need to hear a word from God, need to have a helping hand and to be lifted up and encouraged and ministered to. And God did that yesterday and in these weeks. So those are things where it just excites me, because I see the church being the church. You know, we talk about those purposes of our church, to connect, grow, and go. As we connect and worship today, we're connecting with a great and mighty power, the power of God, the power of Jesus in our lives. We want to connect with that. And then we want to connect with each other and encourage one another in those ministries. And then as we connect and we are brought into this relationship, we want to grow in discipleship. So there's that real need for us to be able to build one-on-one relationships in which we're building into somebody's life, not only just to bring them to the Lord, but to take them through a journey as they grow in understanding what it means to be on fire for Jesus Christ, and then to go back out there in ministry. And yesterday was a going ministry. We were all missionaries yesterday in Mountain Grove, Missouri. So there's a lot of good things. You'll see some things on Facebook about that and more reports coming on the results of that ministry, but praise God for that. I'm just fired up. Brother Jay, you know, was the interim pastor before I came here, and his son Mark are involved in that ministry, and I enjoyed getting to know them a little more yesterday as well. Well, I've given you enough time to find Philippians chapter 4, key on verse 13, and I want you, some translations will be different, but I want you to look at this in the New King James as I read this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now I want you to read that out loud with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now I want us to read that with a little different emphasis now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because we live in a culture where we focus a lot on the I can. Well, I can do this, or just do it. I can, I can, I can. And here's the I can, and I can. But I cannot without Christ. I need Christ. So I can do all things. There's nothing I cannot do with Christ. There's nothing I cannot go through with Christ. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So we're going to finish up the series of Philippians, and we've talked this month about how this is a series based on whatever it takes and what matters most. And what matters most is Jesus. We want to put our focus on that. I can do all things through Christ, who matters most in my life, who has the highest priority, who is the most important relationship I have. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. So as we face adversity, Paul begins this book talking about adversity. We must realize that the antidote to adversity, the antidote to discontentment or dissatisfaction, the antidote is joy. So we're going to read earlier in this chapter as we begin to go through this last chapter together. But in Christ, we can have all the joy and confidence that we need to live out the purpose He called in our lives. I was just talking with a gentleman before church started today whose life was spared at the age of 31. Could have died in an explosion. His life was spared. And I said to him, God has a purpose for your life. If you're sitting here or you hear my voice, anyone within the sound of this, my voice today, I want you to know Jesus Christ loves you, and he has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter what age, how old you are, how young you are. You know what I loved about walking around the church yesterday was this was a multi-generational ministry happening yesterday. You had little guys as small as this helping out. You had kids serving lemonade and popcorn. You had adults and senior adults working the tables and in the counseling room. We had folks out of their comfort zone, folks who are usually more comfortable doing this. And I want you to know, I know Jim had a conversation. I had a conversation with another person before this happened, and they were talking about their discomfort. It was they felt like they didn't know if they could do the job they were being asked to do. But isn't it amazing? As I watched the day go by, I watched both of these individuals have a smile on their face, and you see God at work. When you take a risk and you step out of your comfort zone, God's going to bless. Because you know why? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's a joy in seeing that ministry yesterday and seeing all ages and the body at work. The fact of the emphasis of this letter is that when we stand together in one spirit and we seek him passionately through prayer, and when we focus on the right things, the right pursuits, there's nothing we cannot do. So let's see what Paul says about that as we begin in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, my beloved, longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind of the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the words of Paul. I thank you that he wrote them and had them delivered to the church of Philippi. But even more, Father, I thank you that they have been preserved as your word in Scripture. And that the message to the church of Philippi is the same message to us today. That, Father, what really matters is Jesus and the advancement of the gospel. And we thank you for every opportunity we have to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for every opportunity we have that no matter what adversity we face, to rise above that adversity and press on. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity, for the grace and the power given to us by Jesus Christ to be called saints and to be sent on mission. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's look at some things we can determine to do then as a church, or not to do as a church, as we wrap up in this final verses of the book of Philippians. If you look at verse 2, he says, "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." I want our first thing to think about today of some things that we will do or some things we will not do in order to put our focus on the right thing. He'll get into this a little bit later in the scriptures where he tells us to focus on things of noble pursuits. But let's look at what we shouldn't do first. We shouldn't be me-focused. Now, you might remember, and I forgot to bring the book up with me to wave it around and remind you of this little book, and I left it on my desk, but remember that little book called I Am a Church Member? This means yes, this means no. If you don't remember it, I want you to get a copy of it. And if you don't have a copy of it, I want you to come see me. I'll get you a copy of it. I think everybody in our church should read that book. I know we did a series on that a few months into our time together when I began my pastorate here a little over a year ago. And we walked through this book. But one of the things about the book was it was a book that showed us that we are not to have a me focus. And so that's really what Paul is telling these ladies in the book of Philippians here, is I will not make my church about me. And as we learn that one of the reasons Paul was writing to the church of Philippi Earlier in this series, we learned that he was addressing a conflict that was happening between two women. And of course, last week I said that my wife told me when I got home, be sure that you mention that men sometimes get in conflicts too. It's not just the women. It sounded like you were just picking on the women. So let me be clear. Men and women who are part of the body of Christ get into conflict. Men and women will sometimes stir up dissension. Men and women and or will get involved in some type of discontentment, adversity, or frustration. We all will face adversity, whether it be in the family of Christ or our home families or in the relationships we have at work. We will all face adversity. There are times when conflict will happen. And so Paul was writing the church at Philippi because he needed to address this conflict. And when he wrote about this conflict, we don't know what the specific conflict was. And when I read through the book of Philippians and I get to this, you know, I know sometimes we in the church, we want to know the details. Well, what were they fighting about? You know, and so when we hear about conflict, sometimes we want the nitty-gritty before we really focus on what we should be doing to help bring about a solution. I want you to know, sometimes people are going to come to you with problems, and they're going to start talking to you about a problem they're having with someone, and it's okay to say, I don't need to know the details, because the formula, the solution is the same for everyone, and that is to let Christ be first in that and to restore relationships and to love one another, to esteem each other more highly than yourself. Paul's addressed all of that in the book of Philippians. Nowhere does it say, get the details of the conflict. That really is worked out between the two parties involved. Now, you might help them. As a counselor, a lot of times you help people work through those details, and that's when you learn of them. And I'm sure Paul knew the details. But it wasn't worthy of recording in the Bible. What was worthy of recording was he urged him to a solution. So we don't know what the specific conflict was, nor do we need to know, but the point is the church was being impacted in a harmful way. And when there's disunity between brothers and sisters in Christ, when there's dissension in the body, it affects the body. It can render the body ineffective if it becomes the focus. So evidently, when Paul wrote the church of Philippi, they had not read the book yet, I Am a Church Member. Nobody had told them that yet. So Paul was telling them what it means to not be me first. And he says in verse 3 to seek out a solution. But before he says that, in verse 2, he addresses the two women in this particular conflict. And he says, be of the same mind. That is, get along. Don't hurt the church. It's not yours. It's his. We are the body. And when one member of the body is hurting another member of the body, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the body as a whole. Get along. Be of the same mind. When you remember the series we walked through last year that focused on this book, I Am a Church Member, the bottom line was we're not to make the church about my personal preferences. I wonder what Paul would write about if he was writing to the church of First Baptist Mountain Grove. Just think with me on that for a moment. What would Paul write? What concerns would he address? What ministry would he affirm? I'm telling you, if he saw what I saw yesterday, he'd be writing a lot of good things about the ministry that was occurring there. And you notice his focus is joy in Christ throughout the book of Philippians. So yes, there was a problem. There was some dissension, but that wasn't the focus of everything. And sometimes we allow that to become our focus when we need to realize, and Paul's going to move us in that direction here in just a moment, that our focus is always to be on Christ and on each other, not on ourselves. So I think if he was writing the church of Mountain Grove, he would address those ministries where we are making a difference. And he would affirm the faithful service of the saints. He would address concerns, but his focus would be, you guys can do this. You guys can impact your community. Garments of Praise yesterday was an excellent demonstration of that. The second thing is, not only will I not be me focused, I will be others focused. Look at verse 3 where he turns that corner and he says, I urge you therefore, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. There you go, Lisa. I think Clement might have been a male. Maybe he was doing something. He just didn't get the same amount of press. But he's saying, focus in on these guys and these ladies. And he says, help them. Don't talk about them. Don't gossip about them. Don't judge them. Help them. Help them. So when you see a brother or sister in Christ struggling with their relationship with anybody, whether it be within the church, whether it be with their husband or their wife or their workplace, when you see another brother or sister in Christ struggling, help them. Help them. Because they labored with me in the gospel. They worked together. They helped me. I'm telling you, family, Paul makes it clear that our response to disputes or complaining is not to join in them or to avoid them, but to help mediate in them. Family, conflicts, and misunderstanding always happen within family. Anger, frustrations, irritabilities will occur in family settings. The fact remains that families are families and they should love one another and love should prevail. So Paul uses this strong language in verse 3, and I urge you. Some translations may say beseech you. It's that same urgency. He says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of Christ, to present yourselves as holy and living sacrifices that we find in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul has just laid out his theology, and he talks about the grace of God, the saving power of Jesus Christ, the power that's available in his name, the sins that have been forgiven, the grace that has been dispensed. And he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, I urge you, same language, I urge you. And he's telling us here in Philippians, I urge you to be true companions. Help these women and Clement also. Get the problem solved and get back to gospel business. Christians who stand firm in Christ will not allow the evil one to hurt the ministry of the church in this way, and they will do whatever it takes to keep Christ as the focus. Now, Paul reminded the church that these women had contended for the faith, that they were active co-laborers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Realize we do have a biblical record here of two women in a dispute. Forever recorded in the Bible. It's there. But realize this. Their name is also recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life. So their names are forever recorded as the problem of disunity in the church, but more important than that, their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the biblical record also reflects that these women were co-laborers with Paul for the gospel. Yesterday, we were co-laboring together. When we walked the streets of Mountain Grove, passing out food, co-laboring together. When we're ministering together through Vacation Bible School, we're co-laboring together. When we're involved in the ministry where we've gone out and as our youth did with Jerusalem Changers and we made an impact in our community, we are co-laborers together. We are co-laborers for the sake of the gospel. Sometimes those co-laborers will have some issues that they need to deal with, but we are nonetheless co-laborers and our names are written in the Book of Life. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think, too, on a side note, it might be worthy to note here, too, that we need to give God praise for the women that we have in our church. We have some godly women in our church. We have some godly men in our church. But note here that Paul is giving notice of these two ladies. Although they're involved in this dispute, they were women who were partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right alongside Paul, co-laborers for the sake of Christ. Follow Jesus Christ in his ministry, and you have the 12 apostles, you know, who get all the press, Jesus and the boys, but right along with him were the women ministering. And you read through the gospel and think women as you read through that, and you'll see how much God used women too. There is neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. We are all co-laborers for the cause of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we work together as family. Okay, so I won't make the church about me. I will be others focused, and thirdly, I will rejoice. Love verse 4. He takes that turn now, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice is a theme throughout the book of Philippians. Joy is the point that in our relationship, when we are in line with God, when we are connected to God, we will display a joy in our life, a joy of serving, a joy of even suffering adversity. We will be joyful. We will rejoice in the Lord always and in all things. We will have joy. How can you do that? Well, Paul talks about that a little later too. But we need to learn that no matter what state we're in, to be in a state of joy, even in the midst of adversity. And Paul is writing this from being chained to a prison guard. Paul knows what it is to be stoned and left for dead. I think I might have rethought my career and maybe went into insurance sales or something like that. We got an insurance guy with us. Good one, Brody. I did that too for a while. No, Paul said, I will rejoice in the Lord always. And he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then he goes on and he talks about this paradigm shift, because we can be so focused that we don't put our focus in the right place. We're looking down. We're in the midst of our muck. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Hear that. The Lord is at hand. I'm telling you, the times that we live in today, I am convinced that we are living in the last days and that it is time to redeem the time. I'm convinced that when our perspective has changed and we live like we're in the last days, we will make the gospel a priority in our life. And we'll make the love of Christ a priority in our lives. And we will love gently like we did yesterday and come right alongside some folks that need to hear about the hope of Jesus Christ. Not only help with some clothing. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Anybody here anxious today? Is there any anxiety in the house? You know, I have it. I get anxious about things. I worry about things. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. I will rejoice. Say that out loud with me. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. You see, in 2:14, he told us the opposite. He said in 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. And here he says to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul reminds us of what not to do in 2:14. Don't dispute. Don't complain. Don't get caught up in your worries and your anxieties. Don't fret. Don't fear. But rejoice. Rejoice. Trust. Pray. Focus. That's what he's saying in those next few verses. Rejoice, trust, pray, and focus on the right pursuits. See, the antidote to anxiety and worry is joy. You cannot be anxious and joyful at the same time. You cannot be complaining and praising God at the same time. The Word of God says He inhabits the praises of His people. And if you're in a state of joy, if you're praising Him, there is not the room for the complaint. You can't do the same at the same time. Have you ever tried it? You just can't do it. In fact, when you try to make that adjustment, it's a little difficult at first. And sometimes you have to speak it before it happens. Okay, if you're in that state of mind and you say, okay, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Okay, let me try it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. And you start changing your perspective. God begins to be present in your praise. Your mindset changes. Guess what? The problems are still there. The adversity is still there. You still have to work through it, but your perspective changes. And you work through it with a different perspective. And then you can come to the point where you say, I can get through this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives us a wonderful peace as we learn to place all of our concerns at His feet. It's a peace that the Word tells us surpasses all understanding. And Paul teaches us to replace our fears, our complaints, our disputes that are occupying our thoughts and our hearts and our mind. He says to replace the worry and the anxiety with worthy things. And so he gives a few suggestions. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever are things of good report. If there's any virtue, if anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. In counseling world, we use phrases like twisted thinking, and we need to untwist it, or replacement therapy as we try to replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. That's nothing new to the Word of God. He's telling us, do not be anxious. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. It takes the anxiety away when you know where you can place your trust. And then focus on the right pursuits. Know this, family. When our mind is anxious, it's usually affected by things that are not noble, that are not true, and that are not just. When our minds are anxious, anxiety has a way of lying to our minds. This is another thing we talk about some in the counseling world. Feelings are real. If you feel a certain way right now, it's real, it's a reality, it's true. But sometimes the thoughts that lead to those feelings are lies. Anxiety lies to you. Anxiety tells you nothing can be done. This will never get any better. There is no hope. Anxiety will tell you that you're a loser and that you're not going to win. Anxiety will tell you that you have been beaten. Anxiety will lie to you. It will lie to your mind and it'll take your mind off of Christ. And Paul says, be anxious for nothing but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Guess what happened? The mind that has been taken off of Christ by anxiety is being put back on Christ, is being put back in the right focus. Anxiety lies to our minds, but He gives us peace and sufficiency. And I want to tell you, Christian, your testimony is greatly affected by what you let rule your mind. Are you ruled by the mind of Christ, He tells us about in Philippians? Or are you ruled by anxiety, worry, fear, complaining, and disunity, dissension? Your testimony, your witness is greatly affected by your ability to live with the mind of Christ. And that's why He urged us in Philippians to have this attitude which was in Christ Jesus. We just looked at it a couple weeks ago. Thinking on these things, trusting Christ completely, walking in joy will be your most powerful witness to those you speak of Jesus to. So walk with the attitude of gratitude. Walk with joy. I will rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, I will rejoice. Which leads me then to my last point. It's not only will I rejoice, I will walk in His power. Look with me at verses 10 through 13. But I say I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at your last care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And there's verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's much more as he goes into this passage and talks more about his own need. There's much more that could be preached on here in the remainder of this chapter about how Christ has provided for Paul in circumstances and the circumstance he now finds himself in. Much of that provision came from the church at Philippi. He writes that a lot of others didn't have the opportunity, but the church at Philippi did help him out in his time of need. And Paul mentions, though, that he was not dependent upon the supply of what people could provide, although he was appreciative of it. He realized his ultimate supply came from Christ. He had learned to live and be content in times of plenty and in times of lacking. And he makes it clear that his ultimate provision is Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Now, Christ chose the church at Philippi to be part of his support in his time of need. And throughout his missionary journeys, we see how different churches help support Paul. And sometimes Paul had to help support himself in being a tent maker. But he realized his ultimate provision came from Christ. And when we realize, bottom line, we're not dependent upon our salaries. We're not dependent upon how much food is in the cabinet. We're not dependent upon, are we living in times of plenty or in times of need? We're dependent upon Christ. He is our sufficiency. He is our provider. And he will always supply your need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me was not a motto Paul was giving to the church of Philippi to apply to their lives. It was a way of life that Paul was sharing with them and saying, you have that same power in you, and I will walk in that power. So we make a choice that what really matters is that we walk in the sufficiency of Christ, that we walk in relationship with him, and that we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ as we wrap up in this series. So I want to ask you today, what are you anxious about? I think this is the last hurdle that Paul's addressing here to get over, is that anxiety. What are you anxious about today, right now? When I talked about anxiety, what came to your mind? What relationship are you concerned about? Maybe it's a financial hardship, and you're very anxious about it. Maybe your job is on the line, or you've recently lost a job, or you're looking for a job. Maybe your marriage is in trouble, and you're anxious about that. Maybe you heard from the doctor you have cancer. Maybe you're facing another physical element. Maybe there's something happening in your relationship with the Lord that is causing you anxiety. Or your relationship with another believer. Something in your church life. Maybe there's a sin that has got a hold of you and you're anxious about how to overcome it. Maybe you're anxious about your past. Maybe your present. Or you have great anxiety over what's going to happen in the future. Maybe you're anxious for another person in your life, a child that may be like the prodigal son. What is causing anxiety in your life? I want to encourage you to do this. Take the antidote. Take the antidote. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. before you can make any difference in any of these areas of life that I just mentioned, before you can face any of that adversity, start out on a knee and go to the Lord in prayer and make sure your relationship with Him is right. That you and Jesus are in a relationship. And then lay it all at His feet. Because the Word says, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. You can know the peace that surpasses all understanding because you're in the relationship with the One who can help you overcome. As we stand together today, what care do you need to cast on Him? Let's be strong in fellowship. Let's be centered not on ourselves but on others. And let's put our focus on the right things. And the very first thing that I want you to put your focus on today is Jesus and everything that surrounds Him. And God does an amazing thing then, because the issues are still there, but they become smaller. And Jesus becomes bigger. Because you have your focus in the right place.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, lifted into your perfect land. You gently call me into your
about that calling. There's a surrendering, there's an allowing of the Lord to mold. That's another typo on there, by the way.
Actually, it's the Australian spelling.
Oh, okay, that's what that. All right, I saw that.
Did you get it? It's an Australian song. I'll have to fix that.
Amen. What I love about that is there's a surrendering that's taking place there. When we say, I can do it, we're just being stubborn and determined, you know, but we're rigid when we do that. I can do it. How about a 2-year-old? I can do it myself. Okay, anybody ever have a 2-year-old in your house? Okay. Sometimes we do that to Jesus. We look at Him and we say, I can do it myself. But He's wanting to draw us to relationship where He says, you can do it with my help, through my strength. It's a surrendering to Him. And guess what? Then we find ourselves doing the right things. And as you're pulled in and drawn into that relationship, your perspective does change and you realize that this great work that the Lord is doing in your life, He's doing in other people's lives. And you're drawn into that and you're brought together in the fellowship of believers and you're encouraged and you're strengthening one another. And that's what the church is about. And then you realize that we're on a mission together. We're partnering together, like Paul says, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what really matters is that I have myself drawn into the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that I should have. And I'm encouraging others around me, discipling others around me to do the same. And then I'm looking beyond myself. The church isn't about, it's not about me. And it's also not about First Baptist Mountain Grove and what happens in these four walls. It's about like what we saw yesterday. It's when we go beyond our four walls because it's the church on the go. Connect, grow, go. Connect to the Lord. Are you connected to Him today? Do you know Him personally? If you don't, I tell you, run as fast as you can down this aisle and say, I give my life to Jesus Christ right now here on the spot. I don't want to live another day without Him. I cannot do it on my own. I need His help. I'm coming to you today, Jesus. If you're in that state, I tell you, come down now and pray to receive Christ. Maybe you're here today and you need to say, it's not about me, it's not about me, it's not about me. It is about others. I need to help my brother and my sister. I need to help those in my community. And I need to do that. And I need to be equipped to do that. And I need to grow in my relationship with the Lord. So I want to not only be connected to my church, but I want to be growing as a disciple. And then put me to work. Put me to work. Show me what I can do, where I can help. And I'm telling you, you were not called to warm a bench at the church. The church is not just what happens here on Sunday morning. It's what we do as we go, making disciples, baptizing them, making disciples, not just converts, disciples. So it's an exciting time in the life of our church, and I'm telling you, get plugged in, get connected, because He wants you. We're going to sing one more verse, because maybe the Lord is saying to you today, I want you to connect. In a personal relationship, connect. Maybe He's wanting you to connect to membership in this church, connect. Maybe He's wanting you to connect with Him again because you've kind of lost that connect and you feel disconnected. Maybe anxiety is ruling your life right now, and He's saying just lay it down. You know, you can pray anytime, anywhere, and you can turn it over to Jesus anywhere, but I think there's something powerful in coming down to this altar and making it a special place between you and God. And I'd like to see that used more, that when God moves in your life, lay it, bring it right down here, because you just might be an encouragement to someone else. Maybe you need to take someone by the hand that you know that is in a struggle right now, and you want to pray with them. Come pray. Turn it into a prayer meeting. You can pray as long as you want. We'll wrap up service, but prayer never ends. The invitation never ends. Jesus is always calling you to Him. Let's sing one more verse.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in Your hand, crafted
would come down now for the offering. We take part of this offering knowing that this is part of our giving back to the Lord, what He's given to us. And yesterday, a lot of giving was taking place. A lot of serving was taking place. So I want to encourage you, not only in your financial partnership, but in your full partnership, to step in, jump in, because God is moving. God bless you.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in love.